Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. We are in our series, Getting to Know Jesus, and I hope you're having a great Monday as you drive into work and you are expecting God to do some great things today. If you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really helps us to accomplish our goal, which is to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We appreciate it. So we have a lot to go on today. I'm not going to do what's happening in Washington today because I want to get into the Word of God here real quick, and it's a little bit more text today. So we're going to talk about upside down living in the public square, and we are going to start in Luke chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "And turning his gaze towards his disciples, he began to say, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hunger, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn you, your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in the day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, their fathers used to treat the prophets.'" All right, so let's talk about upside down living in the public square. Jesus is starting his preaching ministry, you might say, and the world's ladder is opposite of Jesus's perspective. So every public square has a ladder. It tells us what matters, who should be heard, what deserves applause, and what counts as winning. So for instance, in the world system, wealth as proof of worth, influence as proof of importance, comfort as proof of blessing, popularity as proof of faithfulness, and control as proof of security. But Jesus takes that ladder and he turns it upside down. The world says, secure yourself first. But Jesus says the kingdom belongs to those who know they need God. This is so important. I love this because he talks about blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And do you know that you have a need for God? This changes everything. Never let need show. But he says, blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be satisfied. So the idea that our hunger can become an open door for God's provision. So we see things totally different than the world see things. Look at this. Blessed are you when you weep. So avoiding grief, keep the image positive. But the biblical worldview is those who weep are seen, held, and promised joy. Okay, so look at this. Blessed are you when men hate you. So protect your reputation at all costs. But the Word of God says faithfulness to the Son of Man is worth rejection. What's another one here? It says, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of God. So we see this, that oftentimes we want man's approval over things, but it's an upside down equation. So you might be an elected official and you're thinking, how do I make it in this world? Because it's about power, it's about control, it's about influence, it's about all these hard-hitting things. Yeah, that is the world system. But from God's perspective, you are a civil servant. You are a minister of God. You are a, what's the other term in Romans? Minister of God, that you are a servant of God. And so that is what God has to say to us, is that we are different than the world. We are set apart from the world. And if we are upside down living, we refuse to call what the world calls blessed. We refuse to call that as our blessing. In other words, it means that we refuse to call blessed what Jesus calls spiritually dangerous, and we refuse to call cursed those whom Jesus calls blessed. So let's look at these kingdom postures. Number one, the poor. Dependence over self-sufficiency. Do you recognize that you have a dependency upon God, that you need God? We are in our sin, totally sinners, and we cannot save ourselves. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. And so that total dependency upon God's grace and mercy upon your life. Number two, hunger, longing over false satisfaction, longing for God's righteousness and longing for what God has for you, for me, to walk in that newness of life, that place where God is speaking into our hearts, into our mind, versus a false satisfaction of, well, I might simply get this or that in my life, and I can satisfy myself. Look at this. Those who weep, so truthfully grieving over polished optimism. So like you weep over your sin, you have a remorse in your heart and in your life, and you're understanding that God's system is different than our system. Look at even when he says insult, you know, and scorn you as evil, your name as evil. And yet we understand that the world says, hey, protect your reputation at all cost. You know, we are truthful. We reject the faithfulness of our reputation. Our reputation is only Christ and him crucified. So here's a helpful test that might help you out. If opposition comes, ask, is this because I was faithful to Jesus or because I was unfaithful to his character? Think about that. If opposition comes, is this because I was faithful to Jesus or because I was unfaithful to his character? Think about that. I know in my own life, I've been challenged and at times, and I have to ask myself, is it because I'm standing for righteousness or am I standing in self-righteousness? And sometimes it's because I'm being self-righteous versus truly wanting the goodness of God. So the church must not chase hostility as a badge of honor, yet neither should it purchase social acceptance by silence when truth, justice, and human dignity are at stake. So are we being chased with hostility for the right reason, you might say? Jesus takes the economy, he takes all of our cultural things, and he turns it upside down. He says, it's totally different in my kingdom. So upside down living in the public square is not an option. We are to be set apart people. We are to be people who are incredibly different. And that's what Jesus is pointing out in this kingdom. It doesn't mean we're passive or cowardly. I like it. Bold humility, right? So we're humble because we know that we need God, but we're bold. The lion and the lamb. I have that picture right over here of the lion and the lamb. That's the type of Christians we ought to be. Christians are called neither to withdraw in fear nor to dominate in pride. We enter public life as citizens of another kingdom. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven. Our stewardship is here on earth. That changes everything. We speak truth, but we do not dehumanize opponents. So important. Our political system has gone to a place where we dehumanize everyone. Those other individuals, even your political opponents, are created in the image of God. We pursue justice, but we do not confuse political victory with the kingdom of God. We defend conviction, but we do not worship influence. We engage institutions, elections, schools, laws, and culture, but we remember that Christ, not a party, not a candidate, not a court, not a policy, none of those are king. Christ is king. And we serve people who may never repay us, vote for us, praise us, or agree with us. Our job is to love our neighbor like never before. So what can you do in the public square today? What are some practical things that you can do? One, be a joyful person. Be a person filled with the peace that surpasses all understanding because your hope is in God. And even if you're weeping, your joy is still inside of your heart. Don't try to manipulate things to get the applause of the crowd or to chase money or to chase access or chase success. Really think of it as God's desire for you to walk in humble boldness, lion and lamb, right? That whole idea. So a person who knows that yours is the kingdom of God can tell the truth without panic. Wow. A person who trusts that God will satisfy the hungry can serve without greed. A person who knows that weeping will give way to laughter can grieve without despair. And a person whose reward is with God can endure rejection without bitterness. So think about that framework today. Upside down living. That's what we need to ask ourselves. So consider this question. Who is being overlooked? Find those people that may be overlooked in the public square and decide, what can I do to minister to them? I believe our elected officials are one of the greatest overlooked people group. We are like, we just kind of say, well, that's just all evil or whatever. And we just turn them loose to the schemes of the enemy. We need to not overlook them. They need Jesus Christ. What false promise is being offered to them? Identify whether the culture is selling security, identity, freedom, or fulfillment apart from God, right? So if socialism begins to progress as it is in our state, in our nation, you know, there's false promises that are there. We need to identify that and speak truth. What should break our hearts? So we don't want to allow strategy to replace compassion or outrage to replace our mourning. And finally, what does faithfulness to Jesus require in this moment? So I don't know. There's a lot you can learn from these Beatitudes, a lot of different directions that you can go. I'd encourage you to read them, study them, and realize that Jesus has an upside down kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great day that you've given us. Lord, we do pray that we wouldn't be as concerned about our reputations, our political stances, our tribal political parties, but we would be concerned about you and your kingdom and your ways. God, teach us to rest in peace and boldness, bold humility, God, in the things of God, speaking truth, speaking love, doing the things that you have called us to do. Help us to understand where you are and your heart. God, we lift up Governor Bob Ferguson today. I pray that he'll have an encounter with you today, that he would find mercy and grace at your throne room. Pray for President Trump, the same thing. God, we just know that you go before these guys. Help them, God. Your sovereignty is upon them. Move upon them in such a way, God. Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, God, we just pray for salvation, God. We pray for Michael Baumgartner. We pray for Rob Chase today, God. We pray for Leonard Christian, God. We just pray for so many today that you would just move upon them in such a way. Suzanne Schmidt, God, if they need salvation, bring salvation. If they have salvation, then give them wisdom, insight, and direction, God. But we pray for all those in authority over us today, God. We ask for your wisdom, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we know that you love each and every one of them. They have been created in your image. Lord, help us to speak truth, but do it in a way that brings you glory, God. And we thank you for your goodness on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.